Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Want to get no punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels with you for the next 1 hour to help preview the Giants and the 49ers. And, of course, take your phone calls at 201-939-4513 and your comments on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Hope everyone's having a great week. Thank goodness it's Friday, 2 days from game day. And, Jeff, the Giants looking to bounce back off of a pretty brutal performance against the Seahawks. And I know the thing everyone thinks of right away in a game like this, boy, the Seahawks ran the ball over the Giants last week with a mobile quarterback and a power running game. Well, what do the 49ers do?
They have a mobile
quarterback and have a power running game. That spells trouble.
That's big trouble. It's big trouble if they play the way they did last week, John. By the way, I just wanted to let you know real quickly, because John and I have always had this wardrobe faux pas, but I did wear my New York thing today, John.
I'm surprised you stuck with the long-sleeve shirt. Your face is going to be as bright as a tomato in about 25 minutes.
Good. Well, I'll need it because it's cold out. But
it is chilly. That is true.
You know, this 49ers team making a long trip out here, and they certainly, just like you said, John, they run a very similar offense to what the Seattle Seahawks do in matters of running the football and the read option. You know, what do? You come in here, you gotta go back to work, and you know, when you're playing football in the National Football League, you gotta play the rest of the game, being captain obvious, but you gotta come back and work on some things and really collectively get together as a team and say, you know, how are we gonna improve on what we did last week? And they got a lot of improvement to do on that defensive side.
No doubt about it. And remember, folks, we are taking your calls at 201-939-4513. But first, let's get to some Giants players. They spoke during the week. And the first one to talk is one of the Giants captains, Antrell Roll. He talked about how it's really not what about the opponents are doing to the Giants. It's about how the Giants aren't executing their own assignments.
And, you know, like I said, I don't discredit any opponent, but it's more so us than what the opponents are throwing at us. You know, it's more so... you know, us paying attention to detail and transferring, you know, what we learned in practice and, you know, transferring over to the field. And that's where you see, you know, you don't see the 2-2 matching right now.
And there you go. And that's it. The Giants have to play better, Jeff. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's pretty telling to me. And what that means in a nutshell is that, in my opinion, is these guys are not preparing the way that they should. And then carrying it over from what they're supposed to be doing on the practice field and then doing it in the game. And one word I use is called discipline. When you're going up against an offense that runs the read option, you have responsibilities and you're disciplined to do what you're supposed to do on the field. They threw that out the window. They were trying to stop Marshawn Lynch going up the middle, but they just so happened to forget about Russell Wilson on the outside. You cannot do that this week. I think last week the 49ers, if you watched any of their games last week, they came back to running the football, and they're back to doing that well, and they're now coming in this week, and they're licking their chops at what they're going to go up against in this defense is now rated the 32nd defense in the league.
Yep.
That got to make you pretty happy. However, if you're the 49ers, you're just going to kind of just do what you got to do to come in here and win a road game against a team that's not playing very well. And this is a good time for the Giants to turn this thing around. I think that at this point in time, John, you know, we could talk playoffs all we want, but now it's
one game.
Yeah, just exactly.
Heck,
you took the words out of my mouth. Just win a game.
Play well for an entire game. Even if you don't win, if I see four quarters of good football on Sunday, I'll be happy. Do you know why? It'll be the first four consecutive quarters of good football I would have seen all year long.
And also, you know what? You get a chance to come back and redeem yourself in your own stadium and your own fans. That should be enough motivation itself to go out and win a game. And listen, I don't think that the 49ers are as good as they have been in the past. I think their defense is still pretty good. Matching up against that offense for the Giants, but defensively they've got to make corrections. They got some injuries again this week. We know that Jaquan Williams is probably not going to be playing, so that means Devin Kennard's going to be in there, and Pace Inger now, who's been hurt a little bit, and he's going to have to step up and play some good defense. But more importantly, the defensive line, John, has got to stop at the point of attack so that these running backs just don't get up into that second level.
Well, Jeff, and you talked about it. One of those defensive linemen is Cullen Jenkins. He's trying to come back from that calf injury, and he talked about something you mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, how the Giants have to translate what they're doing on the practice field to game day on Sunday.
We have faith in the scheme. We've got to do a better job of understanding that, you know, the guy next to you is going to handle his job. He's going to do what he's supposed to. So I have to make sure, you know, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do with regard to, you know, the scheme and the defense. And, you know, that's why, you know, as players, we feel like it falls on us because, you know, we're the ones out there on the field who have to do a better job of making, you know, the calls work.
And I want to jump right to the next cut, Jeff, because I thought it was very interesting about Perry Fuel, and he was asked about defending the read option and how they coached it up last week. He said it, the players said it, they were taught how to do it properly, they just didn't execute. Here's Perry Fuel on how the Giants are changing their preparation for the read option this week.
Yeah, we tried to change our approach this week and how we taught it. And then we also, we worked hard and put a lot of energy and effort into making sure that we explained exactly what the assignments were. And we also walk through the different assignments.
And it sounds like to me they're like really holding the hand this week. It's not enough to show you on tape. It's not enough to practice. It's to be, okay, I'm going to walk with you as you go to the outside and play contain on the outside offensive tackle.
It makes me believe it's like, did they not explain it that well last week that we did? We changed our way of teaching. It's like, you know, they had a substitute teacher all last week.
No, honestly, and, Jeff, you get 350 yards, you got to change something, right?
I understand that. I understand it. But I guess I'm still just soured on what happened last week, and maybe I should just get over it now. But I you can teach the approach. You can teach how you're going to defend it. What Cullen Jenkins said was correct. They believe in the scheme. They put the scheme together. Perry Fuel has been coaching football a long time. I think he can understand how to put a game plan together. But if your players are not going to execute the game plan and all of a sudden just go out there and freelance and do what they want to do, you're going to see what happens like they did last week. 350 yards rushing and you lose the game. So it all comes down to believe in the scheme that their coach is showing you and then do your job. Just do your job.
But before I move on to the running backs, one number. Giants rush defense versus opposing quarterbacks since 2010. All right?
Opposing quarterbacks.
They've given up 1,294 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 50 plays of 10 yards or more. All three of those ranks worst in the NFL since 2010.
Sure. And really, I mean,
it's not good.
I was trying to find the silver lining in that thing, man, but there's really not a much there. Oh, wow. Wow. And they still have a long ways to go. So those numbers are probably going to get even more inflated. So you hope not this week against the Niners.
Now, granted, I'm sure they had Vic on the Eagles for a couple of those years. They had RG3 on the Redskins for one of those years. So that's going to inflate the numbers a little bit just based on the division you're playing in. But certainly considering worse than the NFL, that's something you got to get better at. But as much as you want to pay attention to Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde are two good power backs.
Sure.
One is young with some big playability in Hyde. The other one is the grinder, you know, 4 yards and a cloud of dust type of guy. And Frank Gore keeps doing it his ninth year in the league. You know, Wilson was a big deal last week. Marshawn Lynch was a bigger deal.
From the U, by the way. Yeah, I just got to say that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All right, sorry.
So they have to stop these running backs first.
There's no question.
They have to.
And where does it start? It starts up front.
Yeah.
It really starts up front. And, you know, Lance and I on the post game were talking about this after the game. You know, we were discussing about, you know, young guys can kind of that you kind of have problems this and that. The defensive line, other than Hankins being the second year guy, these are all veteran guys.
Right.
Okay, so your expectation level has got to be very high that these guys are going to be able to produce and really play the way that they're supposed to. That's where you start in this game. The second part about it is that this defense is giving up 5 yards a rush.
Also worse than the NFL, by the way.
Also worse than the NFL. And like I said earlier, the 49ers are getting back to that basic offense where they're going to pound the football. They started last week, and it just so happens that they're going to go against the Giants this week, and they're going to continue to do that. And until this defense decides to step up and stop that, then they're going to have to put the ball into Kaepernick's hands and let him do things with his feet or his arm.
And, Jeff, that's a scary thing to me, because last week when I broke down that game, if you slow down Lynch and you slow down Wilson, they don't have the weapons outside to kill you. With Doug Baldwin being your best wide receiver. Nothing taken away from Doug Baldwin. That's fine.
I know where you're going.
They got Paul Richardson, who?
Yeah.
You know what? You got four receivers, including one tight end. So that's four players on the Niners that have had 1,000 yards receiving in a year. Stevie Johnson, who's going to be on Jaron Holtzey the whole game. Good luck. Anquan Boldin, who's probably going to get Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Oh, and by the way, then who's covering Michael Crabtree? And with Jaquan Williams hurt, who the hell's covering Vernon Davis?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, even if the Giants stop the run, I mean, if Kaepernick has to throw it 40 times, he could tear the secondary apart with all those injuries.
And, last week, going into this game with all the injuries at cornerback position for the Giants, we're sitting there going, okay, what is this Seahawks team going to do? And we believed that they were going to try to run the football, which they did. However, if they had to,
like 17 times.
So now John's point is correct, is that if this team steps up and stops the run, which is the number one thing you have to do, this defensive backfield is going to have to cover some pretty good people.
Yeah.
And that's scary in itself. And I think this all evolves into one thing, and it's about the injuries. And we can talk about injuries because we're not playing. But those
players
guys can't.
Players and coaches can't.
But
nope.
They cannot. But we can, and we do know that it makes a difference. But the bottom line is you got to line up with the guys that are out there, and they have to play. And, we could get really deep into that, but we're not going to because we only have an hour. But it certainly has a lot of potential to get ugly if this 49ers team can spread the ball around and run the football and establish the run and then start passing it.
Now, Jeff, what's strange to me, and this is the last thing I'll give you on the Niners offense, their offensive line has struggled a little bit this year in terms protecting the passer. Now, here's the little caveat now. They've given up 30 sacks, but how many of those sacks come from Kaepernick running around, trying to run,
gets
make a play,
the line of
holding the football? They're at this offensive line, and I talked to Robert Ayers yesterday, and I asked him about this. He said, John, trust me, these guys are a lot better than that 30-sack number would tell you. So this offensive line is still playing well despite the fact they've given up 30 sacks.
Yeah, and you make a good point because a scrambling quarterback does get those cheap sacks against him. And unfortunately, it goes against the offensive line, and now we're talking about a team that has 30 sacks.
You got Joe Staley, who's excellent. Iapati is one of the best guards in the league. Alex Boone's been in the league forever. Anthony Davis is a good tackle. And Marcus Martin was a second-round pick at center. So they got players here that are good.
And it seems to me that they played well last week, being able to run the football like they did against who did they play?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, excuse me. I was going to say the Rams.
Big win on the road in New Orleans this week, by the way, which is not easy.
That's a good statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy to play there. But, yeah, you're right, John. This offensive line, and they're a big, nasty group. They're mean. They're tough. Something you want to see out of an offensive line.
Very similar to Seattle, no question about it. Now let's jump to the offensive side of the ball for the Giants, Jeff. Rashad Jennings looks like he's going to be a go this week, which is certainly good news. And the Giants are going to have to get this running game going this week because if not, Aldon Smith is back. You can try to tee up on Eli Manning. We'll talk about Aldon Smith in a little bit.
Yeah.
But Jennings could really bring a different dynamic to this Giants offense because he can do everything. He can pass block. He can catch the ball.
He's
and
a
he
veteran.
Can run it.
He's a veteran. And he's one of those free agents that the Giants went out and got, and I believe one of the best pickups there was, because certainly before he got hurt, you could see how well he was playing and how well-rounded his game is. Like John said, he could catch the football, he can pick up blitz, he can blocks, he can run it. And certainly the Giants, when he was in there, had more of a pulse on offense to be able to do things in the passing game because the defense had to respect his running game.
All right, and Rashad Jennings spoke to the media this week, and he talked about the Niners' defense and how despite maybe the numbers aren't as good as where they have been in the past, they're still pretty darn good.
They're good. It's a good defense you got on the tape. You got some guys who filled in gaps for them and flying around and making plays, at all three levels of the defense, from D-line to the linebackers and to the secondary. They fly around and make plays. They hit, and now they do it every play. So this would be a good challenge for us.
Now, Patrick Wills is out for the year. Navarro Bowman probably not going to play on Sunday trying to get back from that knee injury. They'll take their time with him, which is the wise thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But Chris Borland has come in and done an excellent job, and they still have Justin Smith on the line. This is still a very physical front, and they know how to stop the run, Jack.
And Chris Borland, I mean, this guy, what do you have, 35 tackles, I think I read, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been
I mean, that's that is getting it done for
a
young
guy. And they're still second in the league in yards allowed per game, too.
So, yeah, and, you know, Alden Smith, I'm sure we'll get into him later, but this defense can make things happen. I don't know what their turnover ratio is, John.
They're plus six this year.
Okay, so that's pretty good.
Giants are even. If I'm not mistaken.
But, and that's, you know, when you think of a team that's doing how they are and they're at zero, you would think that they would be minus six.
Yeah.
You know, because that is by all means the biggest statistic in football is that turnover ratio.
And we mentioned Alden Smith, the Giants offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo, on preparing for the man who's returning from that 10-game suspension.
We have to prepare for him like he's going to play. He's a talented player. He's going to come in with fresh legs. You know, he hasn't practiced a whole heck of a lot, but I'm sure he's going to get off the ball well on a fast surface, so we need to be ready for it.
And Alden Smith has more sacks per snap than any other player in the league since he came into the league. And he and Justin Smith run that two-man game on that side of the line of scrimmage, where Justin Smith will kind of grab the offensive lineman and hold him, and then Alden Smith goes right around.
Yeah, and really, you kind of you got to figure out, like Ben McAdoo said, we're going to have to play, we're going to have to game plan around him, but just a matter of how much he plays. And the thing about him is he's been around the facility. He wasn't on a suspension where he couldn't come near the facility, so he's been working out. He's been meetings. You just kind of try to figure out how good a shape he is in game shape.
Now, you think he'll be explosive with fresh legs, but his stamina probably won't be where
that's,
it needs to be.
I think that he'll have the fresh legs, of course, and Beattie's going to have to certainly take that into account. But, yeah, the stamina.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you can do all you want on the treadmill. You can do all you want here.
Cardio is not football
shape.
It's not.
It's getting in and practicing, too.
Right.
We're talking about games here, but you get that endurance by practicing all week. And you're not just going to pick it up in 1 week, but certainly, however, even if it's 10, 20, 30 plays, whatever it is, you got to account for this guy because he is explosive.
Final point I want to make before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513 or on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat if you want to contribute that way is Odell Beckham Jr. Now, he's proven now for 3 weeks in a row, Jeff, that he's the real deal. Richard Sherman publicly praised him this week, saying he's a darn good wide receiver. This is, to me, where Larry Donnell was 2 or 3 weeks after he had his blow-up game.
Okay.
And other teams started saying, you know what? Now we're going to start paying attention to this guy a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they didn't pay attention to him when Richard Sherman's covering. But, in my opinion, if I'm the Niners' defensive coordinator here, all right, I set things up so that I put a man over the top on him or even straight-up double-team him, and I'm going to make either Preston Parker or Reuben Randall beat me with some big plays because, frankly, they haven't proven – they can do that so far this year. Do you agree, disagree? How do you think the Niners are going to try to handle Odell Beckham?
Well, I think that you could do that. I think that you have to be careful because I still think Larry Donnell can play. I still think Fells can play in that tight end position. And
Borland's not a good cover guy. He's great against the run.
I do think that Reuben Randall causes a little bit of problems there, too, if you're going to – I mean, because he gets the targets, John. He gets the ball thrown to him.
Correct.
And so if you're going to go ahead and double team or even shade the coverage to Odell Beckham's side, you're going to have to give up on Reuben Randall, who, by the way, is not the worst receiver in the world, but he will get his catches. But I think that it all goes back to if they can run the football and set up the pass
for
those
guys.
Well,
that's the trick. If you have to bring the safety up, then all of a sudden you can't shade the guy over to Odell
Beckham.
There you go. Because then you have one side of the field that's empty, and that's going to kill you either way. The Niners, by the way, are getting healthier in the secondary. Tremaine Brock and Chris Culliver both expected to play. So they've been battling injuries all year long. Those guys should play this week.
And, you know, like we talked, John, I mean, every team has injuries.
Yep.
It just depends on how bad their injuries are.
Well, and how good the guys are that replace the guys that get hurt.
And you know, you look at the Giants and their cornerback situation, and, you know, Prince goes out, he's out for the year. These guys are out for the year. A lot of these other teams are getting their guys back.
The Giants have a hell of a roster on IR.
They have a hell of a – you could probably create a fantasy roster off the guys that are not on the roster, you know? So, yeah, and injuries at this time of the year, they start creeping up. But when you're losing guys that are out of the game for the rest of the season, that is tough. That is tough because your roster is not all about the 22 guys that are playing. It's more the 22 other guys that are playing on that roster that have to help you. And when you have those guys moving up into starting roles, now the bottom part of your roster and practice squad and free agent guys are starting to move into there. And a lot of times that's where you see special teams start to go downhill, because those guys come in and have to play special teams, the young guys and the guys at the bottom of the roster who just don't know how to do it. So you got to watch that too. The 49ers have a good special teams unit. Their punter and their kicker.
You segued into your own special teams.
Absolutely.
Segment.
Right into it. Yeah. How about it?
So. Go ahead, man. What do you got on
those
special teams?
Well, I just think, you know, Andy Lee can flip the field anytime you want.
He's a good punter.
I think Dawson is very solid. He had all his years in Cleveland and certainly can make the big kick. And then you got to watch out for their returners.
Yeah, Bruce Ellington, not quite Ted Ginn, but
he's okay. And really, when you go back to the Giants side of special teams, now Michael Cox being out, I think you're probably going to have to see Demps back there returning kickoffs.
All right, let's get to the calls at 201-939-4513. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free right now at DraftKings.com. Bigger events, that's DraftKings.com.
John,
yes.
So I didn't really believe in this DraftKings things, right? So I'm out to dinner the other night with a buddy of mine, and he tells me, he says...
And he's playing?
No, he's not playing, but he said to me, he goes, dude, you're not going to believe this. My brother did a $10 bet.
Uh-oh, what do you take home?
40 G's.
Get out of here, really?
Now, the guy's not going to lie to me. He's a buddy of mine. He's like, 40 G's.
I think Fields might be getting a check from DraftKings.com on the side here that I'm not aware of. Your thoughts?
There you go. So, and am I getting – no, I'm getting nothing from DraftKings. So,
we know what a good fantasy football player you are.
But,
so
wow,
that's okay.
That's pretty good. Hey, I am in first place in my family league. That's about as far as I'll go.
And how many people in that league?
Six.
Like three? Six. All right, that's not bad. All right, let's go to Matt in Florida. You'll lead us off on the phones today, Matt. Thanks for holding. What's going on, pal?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How's it going, man?
Doing well,
first
Matt.
First-time caller, long-time listener, as they say.
Thank you.
So, love your show. Man, frustrating, obviously, to be a Giants fan this year. But I know we're very blessed to have the Super Bowls we have and great team, great coaches, but here's my two things that I want to bring up, and then I'll get off the phone and let you guys talk. This execution word I keep hearing.
Yes.
Lack of execution. That seems to be the go-to word to describe what the issue is. What can we do about execution? I mean, everybody's saying it. Coaches, the players.
That's
well,
the real
we're
trick,
not
isn't
executing.
It?
Well, whose fault is that we're not executing?
Matt?
And if you're not executing, why can't we put people on the field who may execute better? I know we don't have a lot to dig into, but there's certain players that it's been just consistent not executing.
Well, I would like to see, Matt, I would like to see if Jeff disagrees with me. But to me, execution is a fancy coach football word for simply playing well. And right now, the Giants aren't playing well. Whether it's people underperforming to their talent level or maybe the guy simply not being talented enough, that's when lack of execution comes into effect. Jeff, do you agree with that?
I agree with it. I also want to take it one step further, that part of execution is preparation and how you practice, okay? And we hear it all the time, but for someone that has played in the league a long time, I understand that practice is very, very important because of the way you do things on the practice field. And coaches always say you practice how you play. And as simple as it sounds, it is so important because that is the truth. You practice
like you
play. Now,
what about these guys that they say, oh, we had a great week of practice, but then you get in the field and they don't put it on the field? But where does that come into play?
It depends on their what they qualify as having a great week of practice. They might have a great week of practice in their mind. But it also goes with the preparation part of it. Just because you had a great week of practice, does that mean you had a great week of preparation in the meeting rooms too?
Well,
and studying?
Right. Yeah, Matt, think of it this way. I can go to the basketball court, play 3-on-3 and be on fire during the week. Then I play in the league game against better competition. Everything's going full speed on a Saturday.
Right.
And all of a sudden you can't
exactly
hit anything.
It.
Yeah.
Yep. You're playing against guys that are not. I mean, you know, it's against your other team. I mean,
right.
And neither side is playing well. So maybe you're playing against guys that are subpar. At least at this point, we know they've been good in the past, but right now they're just not. So when you're practicing, you're not playing against good guys necessarily.
I think that a lot of times in pro football, it might be in other sports too, The minute that you become comfortable is the minute that you start making mistakes, okay?
Yeah.
And I think I said it on this show a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
John, when I was
mm-hmm.
telling you is that, you know, I played the game because I was always afraid to lose my job. I really did.
Yep.
And
even like a lot of guys are playing like that.
Exactly. They're not afraid to lose their jobs because they're just comfortable with what's going on. And I think Carl Banks has mentioned this in time
yep.
and time again.
So has Harry Carson.
And really, if you're on a team to make a point out of somebody, or if you want to do that way, this team can't do that because there isn't really anybody left to be able
right.
to say,
right.
I'm benching
it's
you, John.
Like the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it's a tough situation, but it all comes down to the players and their preparation and how bad that they want to be as good as they can be. And if all of them did that, then we wouldn't be having these problems. I can tell you that.
Thanks
right.
for the call, man.
The question to that is then, whose responsibility is it to get these players to execute better? Is it the players themselves, the veterans? Is it the individual position coaches, or is it the head coach?
The head coach.
Or all of the above?
It's the head coach in my mind. It's also the
okay.
coordinators and their position coaches. Collectively, they meet together. They evaluate the players, and it's up to those guys to get them to play.
Thanks
and
for the call,
Matt. I think one more thing.
Yeah, real quick.
I know you guys are sick of hearing a Preston Parker, but
well, he had a good game last week.
I know he does not play well in practice, and that's why he's not in the field.
Oh,
yet,
wait.
You're thinking
you
of
mean
Corey
Washington.
Sorry. Corey
right.
Washington. My
okay.
bad, my bad. Every time he gets on the field, however, he executes and plays well. Now, maybe he's not picking up certain assignments in the running game, and that's why they don't like him in there. But they keep saying, well, he doesn't play well in practice, so he's not getting his playing time on the field. Yet every time he gets on the field,
yeah,
he
because
scores
every
touchdowns.
But every time that he gets on the field, he's against garbage guys in preseason.
Yeah.
And then, but here's the
yeah,
other one.
Right.
And the time that he got on the field this year, the game was garbage time, and they said, you know what, you got five plays, run them. He didn't have
yeah.
to block.
Reuben
he didn't have
Randall
to do anything.
Wasn't making catches against those same guys.
Well, he also wasn't in the game. Washington was in the game for him, and they were playing prevent defense against second and third
yeah.
stringers. Matt, appreciate the call,
yeah.
my friend.
Have a good
all
one, Matt.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, and the thing about it, too, and I did some investigating. I knew I was going to get
you were
a Corey
an investigative
Washington
reporter.
Today, so I did a little investigating, and I'm not going to say who I talked to. I talked to people that are around practice. He does not perform as well as the other wide receivers do in practice. And to me, and I get what the fans coming from. They
think,
they don't see these guys.
Yeah,
so they
course.
Think there's some type of diamond that they don't see. They don't see him on the field, that they bring him in and he's going to explode and be Victor Cruz, right? But, and Jeff, I would love to get your opinion on this because you've been in a million more practices than I have. But if a guy can't get it done in practice and he can't get his assignments right and, quite frankly, can't beat the other guy across from him, and, you know, from what I understand, he's not dominating cornerbacks and making big plays all over the place in practice, those guys don't even normally go out on game day and all of a sudden flip a switch and are dominant players.
Five-letter word. Starts with the T and ends with the T. T-R-U-S-T.
Trust.
You can't trust them. You cannot trust a guy that doesn't get things done in practice when we just talked about
yeah.
how everything is slowed down, there's no contact.
You can't get it right in there. How are you going to get it right in the game?
That's exactly. So you can't trust him that he's going to go in the game. Now, that's not saying that he's not a good player. That he's young.
Yes,
and
talent.
He just has to develop it. There are very
yeah.
rare instances. You're seeing one in Odell Beckham that can just step into a system. However,
yeah, but he's a first-round pick out of LSU.
Thank you.
This
I was
kid's
just
out of
gonna say.
Division two.
I said he's exactly.
Division two.
He played in the minor league football. That's the SEC conference of national football.
I'll
is it not? So he could come
yeah.
in and step in like that. But where did this guy? We don't even know where the school was. Newman,
Newburgh? Norfolk, right? Wasn't he at Norfolk?
Newburgh.
No, Newberry.
Newberry.
Newberry. Yes.
Next
and
to
look,
Mulberry.
On Saturday, I will be doing sideline of a football game with Paul Dottino. Sacred Hearts playing Bryant. That is one double A.
Right.
And these kids, they work their butts off. It's fun football to watch.
Great football.
But maybe you'll get a handful of guys that'll get NFL tryouts out of this league.
That's
a handful,
about it.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a higher level than what Corey Washington played at last year in college.
There you go.
That's the best way I could put
That's
it.
That's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it. And you look at the guys that came out of that conference, that Northeast Conference last
yeah.
year, studs, the guy from Wagner.
Yes, the running back.
He's on a practice squad somewhere.
Yeah.
So Yeah, and he was a stud in that conference.
And let me
That's
tell
a great
you,
point.
The Giants would have put Corey Washington on a practice squad in a second if they didn't think some young team like the Raiders or the Jaguars would claim him and sit him on their bench for a year because, you know, frankly, they know they're not winning this year anyway, and you develop him. He's on the 53-man roster as a developmental player.
No question.
You almost have to treat him like a practice squad guy. He's the only reason he's not in the practice squad is
because they
want
can't afford
else
to lose
claim him.
Right.
Exactly. So he's a developmental player right now, and that's how you have to look at it. Back to the phones. Let's go to Roger in Ontario. He's on next. Roger, what's going on north of the border?
All right, let me say, this team is so pathetic. Our idiot GM picks nothing but clown prospects.
Oh, boy.
Coughlin needs to go. This team is nothing but mediocre slop, and it starts with Reese and his bitch-made players. The linebackers on this team are garbage. We get shut out 8 times every goddamn year.
He's got energy. All right, well, there you go. I'll give him credit. He went to the point.
Right to the point.
And look.
He's obviously having a bad day.
I get the first. Well, I can imagine how cold it is up in Canada. Yeah. If it's like 40 degrees here, it's got to be like negative 10 up there. But look, I get the frustration.
And look,
there's plenty of blame to point around. I'm sure Jerry, and he came out after the year last year, said I have to draft better. And Tom said after the year, and he said it this time this year, point the finger at me. I'm to blame. And the players are certainly to blame because they're not getting the job done on the field.
So there is,
and I get why fans are upset. They pay good money for tickets. They pay good money for season tickets. I get why they're in.
They have the right to complain.
And that's why we're here.
But, you know, to call up and, you know, start whatever.
Well, look, here's the thing about firing people and changing jobs. You have to make the decision as to whether or not the guy, for example, let's say if you're advocating firing Tom Coughlin, okay, which I think is silly because I think he's a great coach, is the guy you bring in here going to be a better head coach than Tom Coughlin?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Odds are, especially not in the first year, probably not. So that's the type of things you have to weigh just because of a bad year. You can't just start lopping people off left and right. I mean, Jim Dolan at the Knicks does that. And how has that worked out for the Knicks the last 10, 12 years?
It's all about
not too well.
It's all a philosophy. It's all about a process. And it starts at the top. You get your leader, which would be the coach. And you know, I know that Tom Coughlin can still coach, but he's coaching players that shouldn't be on this football team, in my opinion. And that comes down to depth and drafting and free agency and developing your roster. So if you change coaches, then you take a little bit of a step back. But in this world of the National Football League, the expectations, just like our previous caller, they're so high that they, and especially Giants fans, after winning 2 Super Bowls here in the last however many years, it's like you kind of run out of patience. But if you're going to go with the new coach, John, you're going to have to still have that patience. And, you know, what do you do with Ben McAdoo, who comes in here and now puts in this new offense where your leader on offense is trying to learn and doing a good job at it,
frankly,
by the way.
I think it's worked. Eli's been efficient. They're not turning the ball over. Look, have they been as explosive as you would like? No, but I think that has more to do with the players that are here than it has to do with the system.
And ultimately, if this offense was healthy the way it's supposed to be when they brought Odell Beckham in here from first-round draft pick and they bring in Rashad Jennings and they bring in Schwartz and they bring in the guys that are supposed to play like they paid them to play, this offense would be very good. It would be amazing. And you also found a couple tight ends that we didn't know about, right?
That can catch passes at least.
Yeah.
It's not
But I mean, but you think about Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham, we now know how he can play, and Reuben Randall, who can play better. Okay, he's had good games and he's had bad games. He's just kind of – he can play better and he knows that. And getting a good offensive line, this offense is good. The problem we're having right now is just like last year where we had with the offense. How do we fix the defense?
Let's go. You're 100%
right. We
better
fix it this week, John.
Steven Staten Island is up next, or it can get very ugly very quickly. Steve, what's going on?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you, Jeff? How you doing?
Good.
Thank you for all those great years, giant years, man.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
What's up, Steve?
Listen, you know what, John? I got to tell you, this is what I think what the defense should. What I would like to see coming out of Sunday's game, and not to take anything away from Frank Gore, but don't let him run buck wild. I mean, I'd like to see the defense make the stops when they're supposed to make the key and critical stops. And you know what? Don't let Kaepernick do what he does best. You don't want him to get comfortable in the pocket. And you know what? Have a plan. If you know he's going to go left, go right, whatever, have a plan for that.
Well, you know what,
I just don't want to see their defense lay a big egg again on Sunday. I think, you know, realistically speaking, You know, we could put down a lot of players who aren't stepping up and aren't supposed to do what they're supposed to do. But realistically speaking, you know what? I like the pressure the front four has been showing, especially the last couple of games. I don't see a reason why they can't really make this a very good game and their defense step up and do what they do best and don't let Kaepernick get comfortable.
Well, Steve, here are my two things. I think it's less making Kaepernick uncomfortable in the pocket as it is keeping Kaepernick in the pocket. I don't think he's a great pocket passer. I think it's much more important to contain him than to rush him, because once you start rushing him, lanes open up and he's going to be able to run the football, and that's when I think you get into trouble. I think if you contain him, keep him in the pocket, that's to your advantage. And number two, you mentioned Frank Gore. I got a bad feeling about Carlos Hyde this week. I've watched the Niners a lot this year. That kid is, in my opinion, a better running back than Frank Gore. Gore's more reliable. He knows the assignment. That's why he still plays. But if you don't tackle Carlos Hyde and you don't stay all over him and stay disciplined, he could gash you for big, big chunks. And those are my two worries this week.
Listen, I got to tell you, you know, I agree with everything you're telling me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care who's running that ball. I think it's time to a man that this defense does what it's supposed to do, what they get paid to do, and step up to the plate and make the key and critical stops when they have to.
It's not wrong.
You know what? Listen. You know, I got to real quick go back to what you were talking about earlier with the prior caller, how, you know, you felt like a lot of people feel like Corey Washington should be, you know, in a big game and you know, how these guys aren't stepping up. Listen to me. You know what? If your number's called, John, and I told you this last week, what better example, the person to use an example, than David Tyree? All right, what did Eli Manning say in Super Bowl 42? This guy was dropping everything in practice. Number was called, ball was caught, and he stepped up. So you know what? Any player can make that big play when their heart is in the right place and they want to play like they love the game.
Tyree's a veteran, though. I get your comparison, Steve. I think it's a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah, Washington's a young guy. He still has a lot to learn, and he has to learn how to practice before he's going to get on the field.
I'm not trying to compare like that. I'm saying, bottom line is, if your number's called, step up and make the plays.
No, that's true.
Whether it be on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. That's all I'm saying. You are there for a reason, okay? Listen, you're blessed to play professional football. Take advantage of it and play your position. Stay in your lane. Play in your position. Do what you do best. You know what? I really think the Giants, and I'm going to say it, I think they can beat this 49er team. I'm telling you now, I think this Ben McAdoo, Eli Manning, this is going to flourish. This thing is going to sprout into something really nice, give them another year under their belts. This is something that is special that we're seeing right now, and it's only going to prolong Eli's career. And you know what? Why not? I mean, just play what you're supposed to play, make the stops you're supposed to make, and play Giant football.
Thanks,
and you guys know defense is Giants. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
Thank
it, my friend.
Thank you for taking my call.
And, well, Jeff, I want to bring up one point that he brought up and ask you about it. The Giants, to me, one thing I've seen the last couple of weeks, they'll hang in a game for a half. They'll play okay. Then they'll have that one bad, critical, big play go against them.
Right.
And I feel like this team gets deflated off of those types of plays way too easily. Do you think that's fair?
No, I think it's fair. And it's kind of a shame because you build up, you go into the third quarter winning the game. You're going to the fourth quarter. This game last week, going into the fourth quarter, was tied.
Yeah.
And then,
and the first half against the Colts, the defense played really well.
No question. And where's the switch is what you're saying. Why is this happening? I think it comes down to confidence. I just don't think these guys that are playing have the confidence to – the game of football is, John, is you have to do what you have to do on the field physically. But a big part of the professional sports is mentally. And you have to understand that the guys that play in this league a long time are good players. They may not have the best ability in the world, but mentally they're tough. And mentally they're smart, and they can get over things like that. It just seems to me maybe – I'm just reaching for things now, John. I think that a lot of times maybe this is where it is. Mentally, the guys can't get over there just because they've been blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles. They just have not played good games down the line here, that maybe mentally they think that they just can't do it. And that's a shame, because if you're playing football, you should always think that you can win and keep trying and do things you can to try to win in your mind. But if you quit, I hate to use the word quit because we don't like to use the word quit in football. It's a bad word.
And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for it to be a carryover from last season because there's so many new players. You know, half the roster's turnover. So that argument doesn't hold any water either. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. Let's go to John in D.C. on line one. John, you're up next on Giants.com. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Johnny?
I have to agree with the last caller. I think that this Ben McAdoo offense is going to look great.
I agree.
Once they settle in, I mean, I know the season looks bad right now, but if you think about the future, when Victor Cruz come back, we got Beckham. I mean, Parker's going to be better. And I think with all our receivers back, it'll make Ruben better. Like, I think in the future, this offense will be reckoned with.
Yeah, John, I think the offense is missing a couple things. I think they could use one more weapon outside to complement Cruz and Beckham, and I think they're really limited this year as well. And fans wouldn't know this because there's no way to know what McAdoo wants to do. But in my opinion and my belief is that McAdoo has been very limited on how much he can do because of the offensive line issues in terms running the football early, but also protecting the quarterback. When McAdoo was in Green Bay, they ran out 10 personnel, which is one running back and four wide receivers, all the time.
Right.
They ran that formation all the time. And this year with the Giants, I think they've ran it once, or maybe not even at all, because they can't trust the offensive line to protect.
Right.
So that to me has really held this whole offense back.
Well, I agree with you. I can see where he's trying to go, and I think it's going to be great. But the thing I'm going to say about defense, it's looking bad right now, but I'm really on the edge of giving up on JPP. He's been there for a while. I love him to death. I love his fire, his spirit, but I'm really on the edge on giving up on JPP. The first year, you know, it was great with rookie season because I look at it now and say, well, he had Austin and he had Tuck. So, you know, it was a, you know, I mean, who wouldn't shine?
Right.
But now it's like, since Austin left, Tuck left, it's like, where is JPP? Like, I mean, I know pressure can disrupt a quarterback vision to just having pressure, not the sacks. But give me one. I mean, at least can you average at least one sack a game, man?
Well, and frankly, you know, to me, John, JPP hasn't even gotten the pressures as much as he should. Now he's been great against the run. Don't get me wrong,
right?
But Jeff, you need your big time defensive end here to do better at getting to the quarterback and disrupting him a lot more.
All of your good ones have been able to do both.
Yeah,
and
I know
you look at JPP in the last 2 years. I can't think of the time when he has had that sack that has turned around a football game,
like some of the other guys have before.
And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to. Like, where is this big play?
Where's that stamp where he says, JPP, this is my game?
He always averaged a big play. But, like, when he caught the interception against Cowboys, and then we had the blocked field goal, you know, he always was there. Like, you know, it kept, you know, energized. He always had the big play. These past 2 years, it's like.
But those are great big plays, but that's not what he does. You know what I'm saying?
I need consistency.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and he really, it's just,
he'll be good, the next game he won't show up. It's a problem.
And I don't know, you know, him, like all the other people, they feel like because 2 years ago he had X amount of sacks, what was it, 12, whatever?
16.5.
16.5.
Right, 16.
That's going to correlate. That was
3 seasons ago now, by the way.
Okay, so 3 seasons ago. that is going to correlate into you getting a lot of money next year.
Well, and here's the thing to me. If JPP,
what have you done for me lately?
If JPP shows up and say, I want $12, $13 million a year with $25 million guaranteed, I frankly tell him to take a hike. But if he's if JPP is willing to take a contract commensurate to the way he's played now the last 3 seasons, I'd be willing to talk to him as a good, you know, maybe you move him over to left end because he's a better run stopper than he's a pass rusher now. Maybe you put him over the right tackle instead of putting him over the left tackle and you use him differently. But if he's going to come out here and say, I want DeMarcus Ware money, I want, you know, the money Jared Allen got when he was in his prime, and I want that type of money, I say, haven't shown that to me.
Those guys have been to the Pro Bowl five, six times.
I want to ask you guys one question.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I'm going to use your opinion. Okay. The Giants for this year is doing okay coming out of the ball game. But then their second half, it's like they can't play good at the half. After that halftime, it's like they go downhill from there.
That's fair.
Or it's a big turnover that caused them to deflate themselves. So I want to ask you this. In 2011, the Giants were terrible in the first half, but in the second half, right. they were back. So which do you prefer? Do you prefer them to be great in the first half or great in the second half? And I'll listen to your answer offline.
Thank you, John.
That's a good question.
I honestly think you have to take the team that dominates late in games. Because you know what? Even if you play great in the first half, you're going to play a lot of close football games.
I'm the other way, and this is why. I think if you play great in the first half and you can create a big enough lead to take you into the second half of the game, the other team has to change their game plan.
I like that's a good point.
But it's a great question because I think you're not wrong going either way.
I mean, I
think it's just a matter of how you feel. Maybe if you have a good defense or you have a better offense, it all goes in hand. But you know, when teams go in with a game plan, and then to me, if you have to change that at the end of the game by if they're not a passing offense, let's just for instance, like say Seattle was behind last week. I think that the Giants would have a great chance to win because they don't have great weapons to throw the ball. So it's a good argument.
And the reason the Giants, by the way, were so dominant in the second half in 2011 is that in 2011, Eli Manning literally had the best fourth quarter season of almost any quarterback in the history of the sport. I mean, his quarterback rating was like 135.
In some of those games that he was bringing these guys back, I mean, it was incredible. And you know, and that's a belief system. It almost goes back to what you were talking about earlier, John. Why is it all of a sudden just shutting down? You know, those years back in 2011 when Eli was bringing the team back, that's confidence. Those guys had confidence that they could come back from anything. I just don't think the team has confidence that they can come back.
And Eli also had two wide receivers at the top of their games in Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks, which was certainly pretty helpful,
1,000-yard receivers
too.
That year,
exactly.
Weren't they? Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone calls at 201-939-4513. Go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, you're up next on Giants.com. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon, man.
What's up,
John
Drew?
Lance, how you guys doing?
Jeff.
Jeff Eagles is here, Drew. Yep. Come on, man.
Come on. Do I look like Lance?
I'm sorry. Did I say John?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
you
sorry.
Said Lance.
Oh, I'm spacing.
Lance John barely has Jeff. His head above the table.
Oh, man.
You got Feagles taking
Jeff.
Shots now. I love it.
What's
go
right?
ahead, Drew. What do you got?
That's okay.
Hey man. You know, I'm somewhat of a rant, but it's going to be quick, man.
Okay.
You know, we keep talking about, you know, practice. And, you know, I hear a lot of these guys saying they want to see Corey Washington. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm kind of on that boat, too. Now, here's my point, okay? You know, everybody talks about practice. Oh, he's not practicing. He's not doing well at practice, this and that and everything else. John, Jeff, I got to tell you right now, every time we listen to the post-game of a Giants loss, the first thing that comes out of my, oh, we had a great practice in the week. Oh, we practiced real well during the week. And when they get out on the field, it doesn't translate. So from that standpoint, what does it hurt to put this kid
well,
in?
Well, Drew.
Have to see what he's got to see.
One quick. Jeff, did you ever play with a player that was an awful practice player consistently but was a great game day player?
No.
There you go, Drew.
You know, that's fine.
Unless he was hurt and he didn't practice all week and then came and played, but before that he was a good player. But my point is, the offense doesn't need Corey Washington. They don't need Corey Washington.
I'm talking about players in general.
Okay, well, then let's keep Corey Washington out of it.
Let me finish my point. I understand we got all of these players hurt and everything, and right now we're down to our third string. But I'm saying that to say this, okay?
I see what you're saying. I understand.
Now, I don't know what we're going to do this week, okay? So, you know, this is this week, and, you know, my argument may be premature, okay? Because I was prefaced by saying this. I hope like heck we win this week, okay? But if we come off that field with another loss, you think maybe it's time to reevaluate these players? And that's what I'm saying, okay? You know, we might as well see what we have and go from there.
Yeah, but Drew, here's the thing.
Tired of it. A lot of people getting tired of this. We don't play our players.
No, but Drew, I hear what you're saying, but I think what you're missing and a lot of fans miss is that it's a constant evaluation, you know, period. You know, you say that the team needs to step back and reevaluate these players. They reevaluate these guys every time they watch a piece of game tape every week. I mean, they say, which guy gives us the best chance to win a football game? And that's the guy that's going to play.
I understand that, and again, you know, I mean, trust me, okay? I understand that there's no easy answers here, okay? So, you know, this isn't lightly said, but I'm telling you, you know, that, you know, when you consistently hear the same thing from these guys, oh, we had a great practice,
and
then
fair.
They get 350'd, okay, or shut out, then that's
like
an issue.
That.
And that's what I'm saying. From that, you know, that's an issue. Then
this, I get it.
This kind of leads to my last point,
yeah.
Okay, and it'll be a question too, but here's the thing, you know, last year everybody was screaming about Gilbride's head. Oh, Gilbride's got to go, Gilbride's got to go, okay? So we got rid of Gilbride, okay? We brought in Ben McAdoo, and I do agree that this offense is got nowhere but to go but up. I agree with that. So it's not. I don't think we did bad with Gilbride. I mean, with McAdoo. That's not my point. My point is we got rid of our offensive coordinator, right? Okay. This year the defense is just flopping, floundering, can't get the job done, whatever, and people are calling for Fuse head. Okay. And to be honest, we may or may not wind up getting. I think it's a 50-50 chance that Fuse may not be here. To be quite honest. But with that said, you got rid of your offensive coordinator last year because, oh, we didn't have player people to get the job done. You might get rid of your defensive coordinator this year because, oh, by the way, we don't have personnel to get the job done. You think maybe we need to start looking at Jerry Reese? That's my question, and I'm done.
All right, Drew, thanks for the call, pal.
Thank you.
Hey, look, John Mara, and look, I'm quoting the owner here, so I don't think I'm going out of bounds.
You're not going out of bounds?
That we need to draft better. And he said that in his postseason press conference last year, especially in the middle rounds. And I think that's where
especially
this team has gotten burnt here, Jeff, because these are the guys that need to be depth on your team. These are the guys
yeah.
that need to be special teamers, that need to be able to step in when your big money guy, your first round pick, gets hurt. And there's been too many, and I'll even throw second round picks in there, second, third, fourth, and fifth round picks that, frankly, haven't delivered. I mean, you can go down the line from Charles Jernigan to Clint Sintem,
Brewer,
to James Brewer, to Brandon Mosley, who's inactive all the time, Tyler Sash, and the list, it's a long
Cooper
one.
Taylor.
Philip Dillard, exactly. It goes on and on. So, and these are the guys you need to be able to step in when somebody gets hurt, and now when the Giants have these injuries, their depth isn't where it needs to be.
And you have to develop those guys like you're saying, John. Those are your draft picks in those middle rounds are your keepers. You got to keep them around.
Yeah.
And develop them into, because when you draft guys like that, you're in your mindset is this, okay, he's there for a reason coming out of college, maybe a fourth round, fifth round, but in a year from now or 2 years from now, we have to make him a better player.
Yeah, he can't be the same guy he was when he got drafted.
And what's happened is those
right.
guys, they're either the same player or they're most likely worse than they were when they got
and
here.
And frankly, and this goes to a point that somebody asked before, and I don't think we ever answered the question, whose fault is it, that a lot of these guys aren't developing? And he said, well, whose fault is it? And
well,
yeah, part of it is the coaches, but I will also say this. It's on the player's shoulders to want and work hard enough to get better, A, and B, he also has to have the natural talent. I mean, he could work as I can work harder than anybody in this building. I could put in 12 hours a day working out, lifting weights, this, and that. Guess what? I don't have the natural ability to compete in the
right.
NFL. It's just
right.
it's never going to happen for me.
Exactly, and that's part of evaluating, and that's part of the, it's not a perfect science. So they try to find these guys and say potentially you can be this, and we look at indicators. You know, and maybe he's a 265-pound lineman. That we know that if he gets in the program here and he's in the workouts in the off season, that we can put 30 pounds on him and get him to be a 300 pounder without losing a lot of his speed. But like John said, if you don't have the talent, that's one aspect of the evaluation. The other evaluation is that can we make him better and can we get him to be where we kind of think he's going to be in a couple years from now? What they don't want to have happen is that they evaluate them and they make a mistake. And a lot of teams like the Giants and others, you know, they don't want to sit there and say to themselves, guy, you know, we made a mistake on this guy. It's egg on your face. But at the expense of the team, because, you know, maybe there's a free agent guy out there, Victor Cruz, that people miss on and comes in here. He's a rare occasion, but there are guys. There's one guy that was a free agent that played 22 years in the National Football League. That was me. Listen, nobody evaluated me. I just came in as a free agent, you know, off the street. So it does work.
Now, how did you get on your first roster? Did you beat out the incumbent?
I did.
How'd it work?
I just was invited, you know, that after the draft
yeah, yeah.
free agent kind of, you know,
workout.
Rush.
Yeah.
everybody signs all the players, and I just went into camp, and I had an amazing training camp, and I did. Now, a little
now
bit
here's
of timing.
Did you kick over your head? Did you kick better than you did normally in that
I got
camp?
Better in training camp.
Okay.
Because I was kicking every day, and I had somebody helping me and somebody pushing me.
And real coaching.
And a little coaching, but more importantly, the drive that I wanted to make the team.
Right.
And a little bit of timing, like everything is in the National Football League. It's all about timing.
Who was the incumbent
it
the
was
year you
a
got
a guy by
team.
The name of Rich Camarillo, who was an outstanding punter, went to 4 or 5 Pro Bowls. But the fact was that at that point in time, he was making a little bit too much money.
And he's probably a little older, right?
And a little bit older. Yeah. So, like I said, it's all about timing sometimes. And it was the stars were lined up, man.
All right, final call of the show, Jeff, is Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good afternoon. You get to wrap us up today, Pat.
All right, Len.
Oh, great, great, great. Hey, good morning, guys. And I just want to tell you before I make some of my comments, I really am in a pretty good mood. I'm looking forward to –
Well, you should be around this building.
I'm looking forward to Sunday as usual. And as usual, I think – as always, I think the Giants are going to win this ballgame.
Good for you.
You know, from a public relations standpoint, it's easier – not to bring somebody back when their contract is up, then release somebody in the middle of their contract. I don't care if that's a player or a coach.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to where – you don't have to answer this, John. It's just my curiosity. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe
okay.
This is for the off season. Really curious where some of these coaches are in terms of their contracts.
Honestly,
you know,
I don't know.
The blow of Hakeem Nicks leaving – we really didn't cut Hakeem Nicks. His contract was up. And he just didn't get re-signed. And the same thing with Corey Webster and the same thing with Terrell Thomas.
I think the coaches have one more year
on
their deals.
Honestly, I would imagine most of the assistant coaches are on the same contract as Coach Coughlin, so they'll probably all be up at the same time. That's my guess.
That's usually how they arrange
these things. I just don't know.
All right, good. All right, good. I do appreciate you addressing that. Jeff, I want to, this is going to sound like I got a sour taste in my mouth, but this is serious.
But you remember, you were in a happy mood today, so don't be too sour.
I am. But this is serious, Clay. You talked about that IR list. When you pull up that IR list, Jeff.
Yeah, I had
you tell me one player who's on that IR list who would have made a difference last Sunday.
John Beeson would have made a difference.
Winning, bottom line pro football, winning and losing. Who on that IR list?
Okay.
Who's on that IR list that would have made a difference against the Indianapolis Colts?
Okay, now let me answer. I will tell you this. John Beeson would have made a difference, okay? And I think
– Against Seattle.
Against Seattle.
Right.
Okay, now I'm only going Seattle here. Okay. Now –
And frankly, and Jeff, I'll jump in real quick. I think Cruz would have made a difference against the Colts because the offense might have actually scored some points in that first half and kept the Giants in that game. Now, Jeff, you finish up.
But defensively for the Giants, a lot of people are looking, they ran for 350 yards. That's the defensive line's fault, and that's the linebackers. Prince Amukamara, a hell of a tackler, okay? He has run support big time. Thurman is a good tackler. These guys were meant to be in that backfield to be able
to
run support. So it's not just the linebackers. It's not just the linemen. It's those guys that they've lost in the secondary. Okay, I think that – and listen, that makes a huge difference. If you look at the stat sheets every week, John, you go down here and look at who's the top tacklers on the team week by week in a game, coming out of a game. They're cornerbacks. They're safeties. And a lot of them, you know, sometimes it's the linebackers, but the corners and safeties make a lot of tackles. A lot of tackles.
Jeff, let me just –
So that's my take.
Add to your or comment on what you said, and preface my comment by saying this isn't college, Jeff. I'm talking about wins and losses. Who would have made a difference? It would have been nice. The score would have been closer. We would have been in the game.
Len,
in the
honestly,
fourth quarter.
I think John Beeson makes a huge difference stopping the run last week against Seattle.
All
I really do.
Listen, I had my say on that point.
Yep.
I respect your opinion, Jeff. Okay. The bottom line is I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody on that eye. In terms of wins and losses, would have made one bit of difference.
Bowman had zero tackles last week.
Hey, John. John, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you really care what Richard Sherman says about Odell Beckham? I could care less
Len, you should have seen the way Beckham's eyes lit up like a school kid when he was told in the locker room on Wednesday that Sherman said
because
that about
he
him.
Is a
he
kid.
Was so happy
you,
with himself.
Let me tell you why I think that way.
Sure.
Richard Sherman's a phony. I'll tell you straight out, in my mind, Richard Sherman is a phony. He's auditioning for his next job.
Right.
Do you think
That's
anybody
fair.
In Jacksonville cares what Richard Sherman says about Odell
no,
Beckham?
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Okay. Okay. That,
no, you're right.
That's where I'm coming. All right. Look, if you win four games in a row in the NFL, given the parity, you're a good team playing good. If you lose four games in the NFL, this is just my opinion now. You lose four games in the NFL, you're a bad team playing bad. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to win a game again.
I think that's fair.
I think in terms of human nature and human energy, I think about 4 weeks, peak efficiency, okay? Playing badly, about 4 weeks, and things start to change a little bit. I think we're going to see a better performance out of that. I really think it runs in force, John. And Jeff, I think it runs in force. I
Glenn
think we're
going to
see a little better performance this week.
Well, let's start it off this week.
let me just say one more thing.
Yeah.
I think these next 2 weeks, these two home games, national television game next week, and a game against a very good team in the San Francisco 49ers, I think these two games are going to make a huge difference with regard to the face of this organization next year. You got to win your home games. You can't look at Anita's comment from 2 weeks ago. She left the Indianapolis game in the third quarter.
Where'd
you
she
can't
go?
Have your best customers in the seats she was leaving from. Those are $700 seats. You can't have those customers leave that stadium.
Oh, that's right. She went to the game for the first time.
Yeah.
She didn't
right.
pay $700 for that seat.
Well, I know she knows. Look, I know she didn't, but the people she was complaining about.
I get your point. Yeah.
Probably did.
Yeah.
Point is, you can't.
But you know what? You are. I think you're right.
$700 a ticket per game.
Yeah, you have to play these next two home games. You got to do it for
Thanks
your fans.
Thanks for the call, Len.
You definitely got to do it for your fans because your fans around here are tough, but they're loyal. And you want to keep them in the stands, and you want to keep them and show them a product on the field, like you're preparing, and like you want to win the game. And like John said earlier, if you don't win the game, at least show us effort, at least show us that you care. And maybe you don't have the greatest football team in the world, but at least you're out there giving it every single thing you've got for 60 minutes.
And frankly, I like this team to beat another good team. They haven't beaten a good team.
They haven't beat
a playoff team with their starting quarterback since 2011.
And maybe that will give them some confidence that we've been talking
perhaps.
About.
All right, Jeff, excellent work as always, my
nice
friend.
Nice job, guys.
Give me quick 15-second final thoughts on the game on Sunday.
I think the Giants play better this weekend. I think because they have to, and one, because they're just getting their butts kicked on the practice field with their coaches. They come out, I think they keep this game close, and I'm picking the Giants to win this game this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I
wow.
think they will. I think they're going to win this game.
All right, here's my thing. I think everyone's talking about the running game, and I get it. You have to stop the run first. I don't disagree with any of that. I think in the end it'll be the Niners passing attack and their weapons outside that end up sinking the Giants.
Well,
we
talked about
half.
The weapons, and they got a lot of them.
And
so.
Before we say goodbye, I got to remind listeners that you guys are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000 at the DraftKings.com now, and enter code BLUE to play for free. Even Jeff's friends are winning. DraftKings.com,
right.
Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And also, if you're going to the game this week, we've got a couple things going on. We got Military Appreciation Day,
nice.
The game after Veterans Day, so come honor our men that have served our country so very well. And it's also the annual Giants Food Drive, which is brought to you by Stop and Shop, and all the food goes to the New Jersey Food Bank. Come to the game, bring canned or non-perishable items. You can drop them into canisters right outside. And I should also plug one more thing, why not? The Taste of the Giants is coming your way
Yum.
On Monday night. Some of the area's best chefs will be there. Jeff will show up for some free food, try to sneak in without paying for a ticket.
Yeah,
and
nice.
Maybe you can see Feagles there. Are you going to that or no?
I don't know if I am, but it sounds pretty good.
The food's excellent.
I
really
can imagine.
Go to Giants.com
yeah.
to buy tickets for that. Jeff, I've never known Jeff to pass up food. So
no, I like food.
Make an appearance.
We all do.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on
Especially good food.
Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. You can hear Jeff and I in the Giants pregame show on WFN on Sunday at 11:30. Tune in. We'll be outside. We'll be playing some contests as well if you want to get into the gates before 11:30. Come by. We have a hell of a time. For Jeff Feagles, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com. Enjoy the game this weekend, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Logan intercepted.